Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. My name is Aaron or Yuri, and we are here in the first part of a two-part series focusing on how Office 365 adoption and usage can positively impact your profitability from helping the customer into the cloud. Assisting me are Kirby Bartholomew and Sarah Gunderson, and I will provide our contact details towards the end of the session. Before we get started, I wanted to do a brief overview of what we're trying to achieve today. And so I'm going to start off with why adoption is critical both to your profitability and to the customer achieving the required return on investment from moving to the cloud. And then I'm going to take you through a fairly simple four-step adoption process, a methodology that we've put together out of the best practices that we've collected over the last 2 years from partners like yourself, from Microsoft Consulting Services, and from the Yammer Group within Microsoft. And then I'll end off with pointing you towards some resources and doing a very quick preview of what the next session is going to be about. And so, running through some of the stuff that you should already be familiar with, one of the things that we are seeing very clearly is that customers are becoming more and more aware of the fact that their work environment is changing extremely dynamically. This is because of the dynamic nature of politics and safety and security and the economy and technology at the moment. And so that's driving them more to have a look at the opportunities that cloud offers, while of course maintaining a very close eye on some of the issues around governance and regulatory compliance and data privacy, etc. That sort of move towards the cloud is also being driven to a very great extent by the availability of relatively cheap devices and connectivity, which allow the customer to access information anywhere, anytime. That's the bottom line, is that customers are indeed willing to have a look at cloud technology much more than they were a few years ago. And we are seeing the signs, the results of that already in the analysts' predictions of IDC looking at about $130 billion for IT cloud services in 3 years' time. A large number, 60% of the Fortune 500 companies have already started moving into the cloud by way of Office 365. Managed services are expected to be a very big part of the market and a big contributor to the bottom line of many of our partners. But maybe more significant is the fact that the majority of money that's available at customers to fund innovation is in the hands of business, not in the hands of IT. And it's very firmly focused on employee productivity. And that, of course, has an implication to what sort of things you should be talking to customers about. And like with any great opportunity, here is the catch. It's all about adoption. In other words, if your customer is going to do the adoption bit well with your assistance, then the likelihood that both he or she will see a great ROI and you will see profitability comes true. In order for that to happen, it means that anything that you offer the customer, any solution that you create, must have adoption as part of the solution. And I'm not referring here to deployment. I want to make sure that we fully understand. We're not talking about technical deployment. We're talking about adoption. The definition of adoption is ongoing regular usage by the people who work for the customer, by the users. Now, here is the thing. In order for that to happen, you must make sure that any solution that you create is customer-centric. In other words, that it is mapped onto the business outcomes that the customer would like to achieve. In other words, that it's mapped onto the customer's company or organizational success. It's mapped onto their strategic goals. And between you and me, the only way to achieve that is to focus on the employees. In other words, to focus on the use cases that will cause the employees to literally adopt it on an ongoing basis and to understand why it is they need to adopt. And so, what is the bottom line? Well, clearly the bottom line that we are after for everyone, yourself and Microsoft, is increased revenue. What I want to drive home here is that it's a lot more than increased revenue. It results in deeper engagement and it results in you being far more visible within the customer. The net result of that is that you end up getting closer to the business decision makers and to be seen by them and to understand their needs, and you become part of their transformation, part of their success. Ideally, what we'd like to end up with is a situation where you become an inherent part of the organization, where you become that elusive trusted advisor. And to finish off this section, I'd like to quote J.B. Woods, who wrote a book called Consumption Economics. And bottom line of that book is no usage, no money. In other words, if you can't get to the point where the customer's employees are using the Office 365 capabilities on an ongoing basis, it's going to be much harder to renew. It's going to be much harder to cross-sell and upsell to that customer. Conversely, the more you are focused on adoption, the easier it is going to be to cross-sell, upsell, find new opportunities, and renew the customer's subscription. Here's the framework. We've tried to keep it as simple as possible so that A, it's simple to remember and easy to modify, and B, that it's easy to incorporate into any pre-existing framework that you may already have in your organization. So the first phase is all about envisioning. It's about understanding the customer's business goals and what are some of the challenges that the customer needs to deal with. And on the way to making that into a solution that can be delivered, we need to go through the second phase that helps us focus down on business initiatives and customer use cases, and I will speak more about that. It's only after that stage that you can actually commit resources and engage, and hopefully that brings you to the fourth phase where you can measure your success, where you can measure your critical success factors that you defined right up front, show the customer that you are delivering bottom line business success for him, and hence move on to the next phase of the project or cross-sell, upsell to a new project. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to start off by diving in to the first phase for a couple of slides. So, of course, there's the question of what is the importance of the vision? The vision is highly critical here because this is about helping you get the buy-in from the business decision makers. It's about explaining to them how deploying and adopting Office 365 is going to make it possible for them to have better business success. Now, there are lots of resources that we've given you links here for. Probably the most critical of them is the Office Success Center, success.office.com. A lot of the templates that I'm going to refer to during the session today, that's where you will find them. Of course, it's also important to make sure that you are familiar with some case studies that might be relevant to your customer and that show that we are in fact able to deliver what we are promising. Let us consider for a second who should be involved in this envisioning discussion. And I want to make sure that while it is important for IT to be present, and we don't want to work around the internal IT because it'll make them into a potential enemy, it's about the business executives, the business decision makers. These are the people that are the most critical because we want to make sure that whatever we create, whatever vision we create here, maps onto business strategic goals. In addition, if it's possible, it's nice to have people who would be in charge of the execution of the rollout and what we're called in the past power users, now called champions, people who work in the customer and who would be excited about being able to do more in less time with less effort. And I want to stress that this is an enormous partner opportunity. When we think about services, we very often think about support and about training and about coaching. Holding these envisioning workshops is a big opportunity to provide a for-charge service. The next step into bringing this to fruition is looking at the strategy, the overall business strategy, and then mapping it onto what are called business scenarios or business initiatives. These are the departmental goals that the customer would like to drive, and this ensures that you are creating actionable plans. That's not enough. The reality is that you want to drive down from the business strategy to business scenarios, and you want to break each business scenario into multiple use cases, because it's those use cases that A, allow you to understand what would the employees see as valuable, how can we get their buy-in in order to ensure adoption, but more than that, that's what allows you to put together the actual solutions that you can provide as a phased project to type of approach. So, by way of an example, we'd like to look at, for example, a company that wants to drive by as a strategy, increase productivity by facilitating cross-geographic or cross-departmental collaboration. How does that translate to an actual project? And so we can say, for example, if it's a company that holds a lot of events, planning better events, improving the planning, shortening the planning process, that would be a worthwhile sort of business initiative. If we're talking about a customer who's very keen on improving transparent communication internally, then we might translate that into a business initiative to hold more efficient, more effective business meetings. If we're talking about a customer that wants to accelerate innovation within the business, then we would look at, or we might look at business initiatives around how to introduce a culture of innovation into the business. And so this brings us to the second phase of our four-step methodology, our four-step framework. The second step is about breaking it down even further to use cases so that we can understand what sort of projects can we drive to ensure that the customer ends up moving towards his strategic goals. Translating the business scenarios to use cases and hence to solutions that we can deliver requires that we answer essentially four questions. Who at the customer would like to do what? Why do they want to do it? And what does it mean that they need? And so, using the previous example of a company that, for example, would want to run more effective, more efficient meetings, what we can see here is a table that we created to translate that into individual use cases. And using the template that we just spoke about, okay, template of the four questions, we could look, for example, at the meeting leader who at the customer would like to do what? He or she would like to provide access to meeting presentations and other documents, possibly before the meeting and certainly after the meeting. Why would they like to do that? Well, so all participants can access the relevant information, okay, either before the meeting, which makes the meeting more useful, or after the meeting to look at what they need to do. So what does that mean they need? Well, they need access very easily to the latest versions of everything, presentations, documents, decisions, okay? They need to be able to add somehow a very quick access, links to the documents from somewhere where users would normally go to. And what's the bottom line benefit to the business in achieving that? Well, meetings should be shorter, time saving is money. Okay, improved information sharing means that people are more efficient, more effective, they can contribute more. And making sure that we're all working on the same page with up-to-date information and we're not using assumptions that are gone, that can save a lot of money and a lot of trouble in the long run. So, as you can see, breaking it down into this template format allows you to create a project which will be a relatively short, relatively simple project that would make it very easy for the customer's people to understand what are they going to get out of it. Now, In order to help you with doing this, all of these templates are on the site that I mentioned already, success.office.com. And in particular, you will see that on the site, these resources are divided into per step of our methodology. So defining a vision and prioritizing the solutions. And you will find that all these templates are downloadable from there. I will come back to these resources a little bit later on. The good news is that using templates and use cases can quite easily define what sort of projects we need to engage in. The bad news, if you like, is that you might end up with a fairly long list of potential projects which then need to be prioritized. And a prioritization of these projects really should be based on the four following criteria. One is complexity or lack thereof. In other words, you would like to do the simplest projects first. When we're driving Office 365 adoption projects, it's all about KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it short and simple. So you want to look at how much value, business value, is this going to deliver to employees? In other words, how much better is this going to make their life? The more value it adds, the easier it is going to be to persuade them to go through the learning process and adopt. How wide is the impact across the organization? Ideally, I would like to have a project that I can take from a core pilot group and spread to every department in the business. It's good for me, it's good for the customer. And then the last one that you want to have a look at is leadership involvement. The more the leadership of the business decision makers are involved in the project, the higher it should be prioritized for obvious reasons. And so what you can do is you can actually tabulate these and try and arrive at some sort of overall score that will allow you to determine which of the solutions, the potential solutions that you can offer the customer, should be prioritized first. So you will see here the one that adds most value, that is the easiest to implement. In other words, this is the inverse of complexity, that has a fairly broad impact, not necessarily the highest impact, but has a very significant leadership involvement. That's the one that we would prioritize. Of course, we don't mean that you need to select only one. You want to create a pipeline of projects. In this particular case, this is a graphic representation of the table we've just seen. And what we can see is the value, the ultimate value, that determines how wide is the radius of these circles. And the location gives their attractiveness. In other words, you want to ideally aim for projects at the top right-hand quadrant of this graph. And it is highly important to right up front, before you start executing anything, define clearly your success criteria. And when I say define, I mean they need to not only be defined clearly, they need to be agreed with the customer. This is how we're going to know if we have delivered success. In order for the goals that you set for yourself, the success criteria, the key performance indicators that you're going to drive, in order for them to be meaningful, you need to use the SMART mnemonic to help you define them. They need to be specific, clear, unambiguous. In other words, what are we going to do? Why are we doing it? Who's going to use it? How are they? Okay. They need to be measurable. So it must be easy to say, where are we today? Where are we going to be a month from now once we've actually rolled it out? What has improved? They need to be attainable. So in other words, they need to be exciting, but not so exciting that it cannot be done in a relatively short period of time. There's nothing wrong with having a pipeline of highly exciting long-term projects, but at least initially, we want to deliver short-term success. They need to be relevant. They need to be relevant to the people who work, the use cases, in other words, need to be mapped in. So the employees will be keen to adopt it, but they also need to be relevant to the department managers. They need to be relevant to the senior business decision makers. It needs to be clear how this contributes to the bottom line of the business. And they need to be timely, part of the keep it short and simple. In other words, the answer to when should be as soon as possible. And this brings us to the third phase of our framework, which is now that you've got all your ducks in a row, so to speak, it is time to create a plan and execute on that plan. During the execution process, it is most important to make sure that you remain engaged with all the stakeholders, everybody who is going to be impacted, and particularly those users, those employees on which we sort of base our expectation for adoption. So in other words, what we should be using is some sort of mix of communications, announcements, newsletters, getting people excited, getting some buzz going about what's happening. Engagement events, launch events, it depends on the size of the business. These could be sort of town hall type meetings or sort of briefings, etc. And both formal and informal training. We need to make sure that people are very clear about how is their life going to change and what should they do about this change. I'll come back to the training in a... What's quite important is that part of this ongoing campaign, this awareness campaign, getting people engaged with you and making sure that they understand what's going to happen, it's not just about the training, and it's not just about events. It's also about making sure that this carries on after the formal launch of the capability, the project that you're engaged in. Because making sure that people are in fact engaged and that they continuously improve their adoption is critical. Otherwise, what happens if we engage traditionally in the sense that we stop the engagement after the launch and the deployment, we'll find that generally adoption will fade over time. To help you with some of these awareness and communication tasks, there are templates and ready-made documents available at success.office.com. You will find a resources tab, and under that resources tab, you will find editable formats for announcements. And in fact, you will find the link for, if it's appropriate for the culture of your customer, the ability to buy things like t-shirts and mouse pads, etc., to introduce some buzz around what it is that we are providing, as well as posters that you can edit, and even videos, teasers, that you can drive either via email links or on a SharePoint site if they've already got one, to get people thinking about what it is that they're going to be able to do, to keep them engaged, to keep them wanting to see the ultimate result of what it is that we are launching. And what's quite important about the end user training, and I'm focusing here on the end users because they're probably the most critical for the adoption, is the training should be formalized around the why, not about the how. In other words, you want to lead with the benefits of how is this going to change your life? How is this going to make your life easier? In other words, not this is how you use SharePoint Online, but rather task-based. Let's see how your task is done today, the real work scenario, the use case, and how we're going to make it better, okay, by introducing these new capabilities. At the same time, when we're talking here about introducing a governance model, what you want to make sure is that you provide some guidelines. This is a great opportunity for you to add value to everybody, to the customer and to the customer's employees. Best practices around how to do it, what to do, what to put up in the cloud, what might not be safe to put up in the cloud. This obviously is per customer dependent, per industry dependent, and this is where you can bring to bear a lot of the experience that you have. This is also a great time to mobilize the champions, because it means that you, if you have a good team of champions, these are people who work for the customer, you might need to execute a lot less of the coaching and the training because they might be able to do it for you. And so this brings us to the final phase of our framework, which is measure and iterate. In other words, here I want to be able to look at the KPIs, at the success criteria that we established, show the customer that we've in fact made good on our promise, and then cross-sell, upsell. In other words, either sort of drive this project out to the rest of the business, or look at some additional capabilities that I can roll out within the same customer. To help you with this, again, the same reference, success.office.com/resources. We have a number of things that can help you. Some customers are not familiar with creating success criteria or KPIs, and so there are some suggestions on what would make good critical success criteria. At the same time, you want to be able to get some feedback from the people who are engaged with you on the project, because that feedback not only tells you whether you're heading in the right direction or not, it also allows you to identify new opportunities, new cross-sell and upsell opportunities for additional capabilities you can roll out to the same users. And so in the same success.office.com, there are also suggestions which you can customize of end-user survey templates to help you with that task. And some ideas about what it is that you should be measuring in terms of the success criteria. Well, you want to look at sort of three things. You want to look at what are the benefits areas that we are providing for the customer. Is it higher agility, which is very, very important? Is it a financial benefit? In other words, lower costs, higher productivity? Is it around quality of service, being able to provide better quality of service, whether internally or externally? Or what is called here GRC, which is governance and compliance. Are we making that better? And then you want to look at, so which capabilities that we can provide with Office 365 do we need to map onto in order to be able to provide the benefits? And then you want to create a pipeline. You want to look at what is the current KPI, the current level of the benefit that is being received by the customer, and then create a pipeline for good, better, best. In other words, this is where we are going to be at the end of the first project, second phase of the project, third phase of the project. You remember that what you're looking at is you're looking to be able to deliver relatively fast, keep it short and simple, so that you can show value. But at the same time, you want to already establish the opportunity for cross-sells and upsells later on. And that, of course, brings us to the iteration. In other words, the important thing to do here, and I think this is the ideal for everybody, for the customer, for us, for you as partners, is that we don't end after launch. We carry on engaging with the users and with the customer and use the insights from each one of these projects in order to look at additional possibilities, additional opportunities for cross-selling, upselling, rolling out the same capabilities to different business scenarios, creating new solutions to solve different business use cases. This is exactly the sort of relationship that you want to hold with a customer, where you are delivering continuous ongoing value. And so to summarize, it's all about adoption. Everything is about adoption. And throughout your engagement with the customer, you should be thinking adoption. And what that means is that it requires you to change your customer conversations away from the capability, away from the technical deployment or the licensing, to the business capabilities, the business initiatives, and the use cases that you're going to be able to solve for them. What that allows you to do in the medium to long term is to become part of the customer's transformation and to become an inherent part of the family, of their business. What I'd like to spend a little bit of time on is looking briefly at what we're going to do in part two of this series. We're going to look at specific business value scenarios that you can engage with your customers around what sort of projects might be interesting in order to drive their business strategy or their business initiatives. Now, due to time constraints, we're only going to look at the first four. The ability to store and share information either with OneDrive or SharePoint very easily, to work better together as a network, internally, externally, across departments, to be able to access things like emails and calendar and presence information anywhere, anytime, any device, and the ability to hold not only more effective meetings, but things like support sessions and discussion sessions. The ones that we're going to leave out for another opportunity are ones like Power BI and Delve, which require more in-depth consideration and require a longer engagement with the customer. And so, for the next steps, one of the things that you should be looking continuously as a partner is to see what sort of additional training is available, both technical, which you'll find under Ignite, and sales training, which you'll find under Drumbeat. You need to engage customers, employees, and your employees around the opportunities and around what it is that we can do for the customer in terms of the business value that he can deliver. And one of the best suggestions is join the Yammer communities. There are some very significant Yammer communities. The Office 365 Partner Network is a great one. There are thousands of partners on it. You'll get a lot of interaction with Microsoft people as well as with other partners engaged in the same tasks. And at the bottom of the slide, I have given you the email addresses for Sarah, Kirby, and for myself in case you want to get hold of us to query odds and ends from following on from this presentation. And for those of you who are going to download this deck, I just wanted to point you to an appendix to this presentation, which has a significant number of links. Obviously, the links are not used to you when you're watching the video, but when you download the PowerPoint, you'll be able to use the links and get to resources that will help you with this tasks. So with that, I'd like to close off today's session. Thank you very much for attending, and we hope to see you in part 2.